We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Mike Florio. Mike, thank you for taking the time, as always. Appreciate it.
Good morning, gentlemen. Great to be with you. How's everyone today?
Everybody's
we are
good.
We are good. And I will tell you that we played a little snippet of your program here. Chris Sims talking about Tua, of course. And, you know, he was discussing the pending extension and, you know, some of the stuff around that. And the Dolphins, you know, not bidding against themselves in this deal here. Where do you stand as we sit here today, about 6 days away from the draft with this Tua pending extension? What would your move be, Mike?
Well, look, I think if both sides agreed on what the fair and appropriate contract value is, it would already be done. And that's the challenge. How do you peg the value of a player who was the fifth pick in the draft, who's sandwiched between Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow, who have top-of-the-market contracts? Where do you put this, and who are you bidding against? It's one of the criticisms we've had of the New York Giants and the deal that they gave Daniel Jones after he became a free agent or was in line to become a free agent. They were thinking about using the franchise tag on him or Saquon Barkley. They signed him and tagged Barkley. What is the alternative offer that someone else is making? And next year, you could see Dak Prescott, mm-hmm. Tua, if the franchise tag isn't used, Jared Goff, three starting quarterbacks from playoff teams last year.
Trevor Lawrence, too.
Potentially hitting the open market. Potentially, let's see what's out there. I mean, maybe that's the way to properly value a quarterback. What will someone else pay him? And then we know whether or not what we're offering is fair. The risk you take, though, is what happened to the Vikings. Kirk Cousins walks away. You got to be ready for that if you're willing to let the market determine the player's value. So that's the fair and appropriate way to do it. And maybe it'll come to that. I don't know. If it doesn't, they've got to come up with a fair number that works for both sides and allows the Dolphins to put a team around Tua Tagovailoa now and into the future.
See, but here's the thing that I look at this situation, Mike. Kirk Cousins' deal, which is $45 million a season, shows you what the market would bear for a quarterback, just like the year previous to that, Derek Carr's deal showed you what the market would bear for a free market quarterback. Do you think that Tua would settle and sign for a contract for $45 million a year when his peers are out there making more?
Well, some would say that $45 million is too high. Some would say that the Dolphins, given their offense, given Mike McDaniel, they could find somebody else who could come in and perform at a level comparable to Tua for a lot less than $45 million. That's the problem. You know, the original analytics in football wasn't whether to go for it on fourth down or not. It was, how can I replace this player and how much is it going to cost me to do so? And does it make sense to pay this player what he wants when I could potentially find somebody else? And I don't know. It's not like you can throw a rock and find a starting quarterback, but every year now, I wrote an item earlier this week. If you thought a lot of free agent quarterbacks were available this year, wait till next year. So, you know, do you have faith that, and I think the Vikings at a certain level were like, if Kirk's going to go, he's going to go. We're not paying him $45 million a year. We're not going to make a $100 million fully guaranteed investment. A guy who's going to be 36 in August and is coming off a torn Achilles tendon, and it's better for him to leave than for us to say, please go. But I think the Vikings have confidence that they're going to get dollar for dollar better value than what they have in Kirk Cousins. And that's the question for the Dolphins. And, you know, it's difficult when you're dealing with a popular player, but that's what every team does at every position all the time. Is there someone out there as good or better that I can get for less money? And the Dolphins aren't doing their job if they don't ask themselves that question.
You know, Mike, I think one of the other things that Chris said that was interesting is how tied to Chris Greer Tua is as well. And, you know, is Chris, you know, I don't want to say stubborn with this situation, but, you know, he's going to want to do right by his guy, and he's also going to want to prove himself right. This is, you know, probably his biggest pick that he's had here with Tua. So, you know, I think Chris made a pretty valid point when he was talking about the tying together of Chris Greer and Tua, right?
Right, and at the end of the day, it's not Chris Greer's money that is going to be paid to Tua. You got to make the case to Stephen Ross, who wanted him, but then wanted Joe Burrow instead, and then the organization was in the Deshaun Watson mode. Now, they will try to put that on Brian Flores now that Flores isn't there, and I think Flores was one of the big driving forces behind the effort to get Deshaun Watson, but still, you've got to convince Stephen Ross of whatever that number is. He's got to authorize it, and he might just say, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to pay that amount of money. And, you know, who knows? Maybe they want to see him get through another season healthy. Maybe they want to see if he can get farther than the wild card round. You know, they got dealt a bad hand with the weather. I don't want to make excuses for them, and I know they don't want to make excuses, but if that game is played in normal conditions, I think the Dolphins have a far better chance. The Chiefs weren't exactly a juggernaut. They have an institutional knowledge of how to win playoff games, but I think they could have been had that night if it hadn't been, 20 degrees below zero, or at least it felt that way. So I think maybe they just want to see what he can do this year. And then they've got the franchise tag as the placeholder to negotiate a long-term contract. And that's probably, if I'm looking at this as a strictly business move,
absolutely
the smart move for the Dolphins, get through this year, use the franchise tag as the way to guarantee we'll have him if he has a great season, if he's the MVP or whatever. And then it's a good problem to have at that point. If you have a MVP season and we get to the championship game or maybe even get to the Super Bowl, we'll pay you whatever it takes to keep you at that point. But we need to see one more year of it. I that's probably where they are, or they would have had the deal in place by now.
Definitely. We're here talking with Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Mike, this is what we call lying season, because all these NFL executives, they sit up and they do these press conferences and they talk about what they want to do. Oh, we'd love to move up, or we'd love to move down, or we're not interested in moving, because they got to say these things just because it's league mandated. Is there anything that you're learning from lying season that you think is truth?
Yes, a few things. And we talked about these today on our morning show on Peacock, PFT Live. And I'll just rattle them off quickly, because and Bill Belichick made this comment on Pat McAfee's show earlier in the week that the teams aren't disseminating information as you get closer to the draft. It's the agents. And specifically, it's not like the agents are just doing it to do it.
Yeah.
If you have the right relationships with the right agents who are in position to really know what the floors are for their client, because mm-hmm. that's the most important thing to have. When you're representing a client, you need to be able to say to him, you will be off the board by this spot, and you better be right.
Yep.
Because if the guy goes later, he may have a new agent by the middle of next week. So I've learned trial and error who to trust and who not to trust. So here's kind of what I've picked up. And some of this, and look, who knows? But here's what I'm watching. Here's what I'm keeping an eye on. Number one, are the Commanders going to take Jaden Daniels or somebody else? Does Jaden Daniels want to be a member of the Commanders, or would he rather play for another team like maybe the Las Vegas Raiders? And do the Raiders want him? Keep an eye on that going forward. The possibility of the Raiders finding a way to get Jaden Daniels and Jaden Daniels not wanting to go to the Commanders after this four-man square dance they did the other day where they brought all the top quarterback prospects in, which I just think is weird. And they're like, oh, it's normal.
Hey, man, you want to see how they handle that adversity in that competition? Who basically shows out? Whose personality rises to the top?
Yeah, but there's other ways to do that is more respectful to Jaden Daniels, who is regarded as the consensus number two overall pick in the draft. So he may be a little bit miffed about what happened, and that may seal this at the end of the day. Also, how involved will the owner be in Washington in putting a thumb on the scale like David Tepper was last year? And like all owners are, they try to act like they aren't. They're all involved. They're all meddling. They like to have others they can blame when the things that they want to do go sideways, but they all are involved. So Jaden Daniels, not nearly a lock to the Commanders, and just watch the Raiders for him. Watch the Giants. I don't agree with the approach, but J.J. McCarthy to the Giants would not surprise me. And, you know, we think that there's five or six guys that are going to be gone the top half of the round at the quarterback position. Michael Penix, someone I trust, told me he's probably going top half of the round, but yep. Bo Nix may tumble out of round one all together.
He's not a first-round quarterback.
Some of the things I picked up the past day.
He is not a first-round quarterback, and that's my issue with the NFL, where they artificially inflate these quarterbacks just because the league is so thirsty about it. Penix, I think, is a first-round quarterback, but Bo Nix, come on, man. Like, how many schools has he been in? What is he, like 28 by now?
Well, and here's what happens, Omar. The teams that don't need a quarterback stoke that fire.
Yeah.
Look at what Jim Harbaugh did. Jim Harbaugh had the perfect sweet spot this year. As the former Michigan coach, now back in the NFL, he's pumping up his guy, J.J. McCarthy, and they're sitting there at number five, the Chargers are.
Mm-hmm.
And Harbaugh said it himself, if four quarterbacks go before us, it's like we got the first pick in the draft. He wants McCarthy to go in the top four because, number one, it helps McCarthy, and number two, it helps him.
Wow. Because I think maybe he might end up with Marvin Harrison Jr. That would be interesting. But obviously, Mike, any early predictions for this draft season? I know we're a week away. You're in tune because I know you talk to the agents too, and so everybody's trying to use you to juice up their guy and get their guy hotter than he really is. Any early prediction for you?
Well, first of all, they knew not to play that game with me anymore. There are others out there who will swallow that hook. After 23 years, I've learned when somebody's trying to work me. But I think that, and I think the quarterbacks are going to be the dominant theme in round one. I just don't think we're going to see the run that we thought. And it's going to be Caleb Williams, obviously. There's been no reason to think there's any other team that's thinking about him. There's no reason to think he's thinking about making a power play. He goes to the Bears. The draft starts at number two. And it's going to be Drake May or it's going to be Jaden Daniels. And, you know, J.J. McCarthy, I think, is going to end up being in the top 10. And obviously Jaden Daniels, if he doesn't go two, he's going to be in the top 10. But it may just be those four, and then we watch and see what happens with Penix and Nix. And who swoops into the bottom of the round to maybe get whoever's left. And there'll probably be Nix, and that could be maybe where the Broncos make their move. You know, Sean Payton was ready to take Patrick Mahomes in 2017 at number 11. He was ready. Drew Brees was in the draft room. They didn't expect him to be there. He just showed up with a couple of his Purdue friends. They had to go tell him, hey, there's a chance we're taking a quarterback here. And they got jumped by the Chiefs and Andy Reid for Mahomes. And here's Sean Payton now at 12 with the Broncos. The Vikings right in front of him at 11 clearly want a quarterback. I think the Broncos, and based on some of the stuff George Payton, the GM of the team, said yesterday, I think they are going to seriously explore doing whatever they have to do to move up to get the guy that Sean Payton really loved in this class.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.